Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Two Young Hearts, the podcast where we talk about all things mental health related and where our mission is to eradicate suicide and depression forever. I'm super happy that you joined us today, and I want to start out by thanking all of you who are listening. Your support helps me continue putting out this content and doing what I love the most, which is catering to the mental health community. Today we have another guest. Her name is Mariette Clardy Torres. She is a graduate from the Atlanta John Marshall Law School. She's a speaker and she's an advocate for the mental health community. In April, she's planning on launching her new company, ML Clardy Law, to help behavioral health practitioners with their patients and clients who are struggling with mental health as a result of employment issues. Mariette, now a speaker, dedicates her voice to serve others in the mental health community as she is using her own journey of mental illness to be a legal advocate for others. And as if that wasn't already impressive, she's also a volunteer for the Atlanta Volunteer Lawyers Foundation, the Lawyers Assistant Program for the State Bar of Georgia, and she was a longtime mock trial coach for South Atlanta's high school. So let's get right into it. Hi, Mariette. It's a pleasure to speak with you again.
Thank you. It's such a pleasure to speak with you.
It's so awesome. So we're just going to get into the questions because this is going to be a really great episode. So first off, you are really passionate about mental health. And, you know, I wanted to start the conversation by first asking, basically, when you live in a bubble that kind of centers, let's just say, college, when you're in college and you have to see the same people almost every day. And when you think about it, you know, it's like, you know, you're in college, you know, this doesn't last forever. You should do whatever you want. No one really cares in college. It's not really the real world. But, you know, there's always, you know, eyes watching you, people listening who want to judge you, and those who remember your face, what you did, or, you know, who you were in the past. So how do you get over that? What would you tell someone who's dealing with that?
I would tell them just to take it one day at a time. I know one of the struggles with mental illness is that you're constantly thinking of the past, present, and future. So just taking it one moment at a time, almost one second at a time, and really focusing on what's right in front of you can be the difference between you getting out of that mental loop and finding more clarity.
Yeah. And I realize that there are people, some people who have developed thick skin. You know, they've been through the roller coaster of life, and, you know, they don't really look for advice from others since, you know, throughout their lives, they've had, you know, to kind of fend for themselves. But what's one piece of advice that you would give them?
I think that's an excellent question. And I lived through that for a very long time. So I would really say, if you are not going to speak to others about it, and if that is the truth that you are in right now, then I understand that. But really try and do something that kind of brings you joy, that makes you happy. If you're in a space where you don't want to connect with others, even if that means just watching a TV show or going out to the park or just living and doing something that brings happiness to your life. But with that said, I would always encourage others to try and get some kind of support. Even in our age of social media, Facebook groups, there's so many great groups that really encourage and inspire people who have mental illness and who really struggle and survive on a daily basis. And we really give each other hope.
I love that. And so what would you say is a very common issue prevalent in the mental health community besides hopelessness?
I would say the stigma of silence. And I think that you mentioned such a great point about being afraid, or not even afraid, but just not at a point where you can speak your truth about mental illness. So many people struggle in silence because they feel like the stigma of mental illness will either cause them to lose their job, lose their friends, lose their loved ones, and sometimes feel like losing their sanity. So many of them keep silent or are just very quiet about the profound effect of what their mental illness is doing to their lives and those around them.
And so what would you say is a great alternative to that? Because a lot of people, we kind of live in this society where it's very conservative. And so you kind of have to follow that, I guess, status quo. And let's say you do have, you work in a workplace or you go to school where you have to kind of confide those feelings that you're feeling. And so not confide, console. So how do you deal with that if you really don't have that person to talk to you? Because I know a lot of people, they just want to lash out. How do they cope with that?
I think it's the balance. I know many people who don't have the outlet to speak to others, and I always encourage them. Social media can be, I think, helpful and or a hindrance, but let's focus on the helpful part. As I mentioned earlier, there's so many groups and communities now that are online that offer peer and support groups. And I am such a big component of peer-to-peer support. Those who suffer from the challenges of mental illness, reaching back and helping others and really offering that safe place. I really feel like speaking to others who either are on the more stable side or who are kind of going through it in the same phase as you can really give you a sense of belonging so you don't feel so alone.
Mm-hmm. And I agree with that. You're launching in April, and this is exciting.
Yes.
How are you feeling? How do you feel?
To be honest, sometimes I do wake up in the middle of the night and think, is this something I can do? But I have to continuously remind myself that this is a continuation of parts that I've been doing all my life. I've been speaking all my life. I've been training all of my life in some form or fashion. I've been working with others who have struggled with mental illness for much of my life, whether it was being a voice and advocate for them or even just being a peer support. So I wanted to kind of formally step into my calling and really take a lot of the components and aspects of what I have been doing over the years in various capacities and put it together to kind of create, I would say, a single passion.
I love it. I love it.
Thank you.
So why did you decide? I know that you mentioned that this was your calling, but why did you decide to start a business in this area? Basically, it's probably going to be restating what you just said, but is there anything else that made you want to start this business?
I would say the biggest thing is I got some amazing advice maybe about 6 months ago, and it was related to kind of finding what your calling is, whether you do your calling on a volunteer basis, do it as a job, et cetera. And it was taking your skills, your strengths, and your passions and forming it to create something that you truly love. So it took some time I think the biggest answer is why now? It took so much time to be self-aware and to figure out what my strengths and skills were. Once I figured that out, I realized that I was a performer, a speaker. But the advice I was given is, who do you want to speak for? Who are you most passionate to perform for? Mm-hmm. And that took a while because I have spoken on behalf of so many different people in different subjects. And so I had to think, what is something that not only am I passionate about, but that I have firsthand knowledge and experience? And it was my mental illness and mental health. And so I basically took it from there and started building a path.
I love it. I love it. And so would you consider yourself also a coach for the mental health community?
You know, someone asked me that question and I would say yes. Yes and no. I think coaches, let's just say I would say yes. Coaches really use their life experience. So in that aspect, yes, I think coaching, there is an aspect of coaching. There's also an aspect of advocacy, because I really believe in helping those who are challenged with mental illness, even if it's not employment related, but just showing them how to advocate for themselves and really take, even though they have a mental illness, take control of the options that they have to create stability.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I have another question. Who do you look to for inspiration? You know, whenever you need a pick me up, or, you know, just a reminder of who you are, who do you actually look for, or what do you look for in a person?
I think that is an excellent question, because I have thought about that sometimes in the days that I doubt myself. Mm-hmm. And this is going to sound very odd, but I think that I have to try and be inspired by myself. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I say that is because I felt that for so many years, I was inspired by so many others, but I didn't have a lot of self-worth in my abilities and my accomplishments. Mm-hmm. And so learning to love myself and be confident in who I am, and just not just be humble, but just to be aware of what I can do and the power that I can bring to something that I'm passionate about, whether it's mental illness or whether it's just going outside and enjoying the day. Mm-hmm. I had to learn to, again, love myself and be inspired by who I am.
And I know
that. I know it sounds weird.
I know that that's a journey, you know, that we all have to kind of like find that thing about ourselves that's treasure pretty much. But if you don't mind, like, how did you find that inspiration? Like, when did you find out, hey, I need to start finding worth in myself? When did you come to that conclusion?
It was a long road. And the first step was realizing some of the things that I said to myself about myself. I realized that I was my own worst enemy. And once I started becoming very aware of how I was speaking to myself, it really made me think, wow, there are things that you were saying to yourself that you would not say to people that you despise, mm-hmm. but these things run through your head every day. And at that point, I didn't know how to change it, but I knew something had to change, because if I'm thinking these thoughts multiple times a day, every day, then I know that's why I don't feel confident in myself, or I'm fearful all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Mariette, this has been the most, this has been a very interesting episode of Two Young Hearts. And I just have to ask, if someone wanted to find you, where can they look?
Well, I will have my Facebook page, business page soon, ML Clardy Law, but I am also on Instagram at Mariette Lynn _ creative. And those are pretty much the two biggest places that you can find me. And from there, you can just reach out. And if you need my support, whether it's for mental illness or, you know, just to talk and just for support, I am always available.
And that is Mariette, Mariette. You have a really cool name. I just have to say, really cool name.
Thank you.
Well, this has been another episode of Tea Young Hearts. I am very glad that you decided to tune in with us today. Thank you, Mariette, for joining me. And
oh, you're welcome.
Yes, absolutely. And we will catch you right back here, or I'll catch you right back here on April 9th. Bye.
Bye-bye.